for the Celtics, really, it was just about getting Marcus Smart back. You wouldn't know he was injured, man. You wouldn't know he was banged up the way he performed last night. His stat line was off the charts and defensive player of the year. And he imposed his will in that game last night. And Horford was returning. And that was a big win. Big win for Boston. And the tables really turned. And now they go home with a split. And they have to be feeling good. And to chat about that, we're joined now by ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. This Celtics team, Bobby, all year has been, well, they started poorly. But ever since that start, they took off. And defensively, the best metrics in the NBA. Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year. Tatum gets a ton of love. Brown gets a ton of love. Williams gets a ton of love. But is Smart the X factor? Like, is he the guy that stirs the drink for the Celtics, in your opinion?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially because he can give you a little bit, you know, certainly the defensive player of the year. And then, you know, when he gives you, you know, on offense, it's a bonus year. But I would say he's probably the heart, you know, heart of the team. And then when you can get, you know, what, 30-plus points with Williams and Peyton Pritchard off your – you know, off your bench, you know, that's tough because even on nights that, you know, Tatum or Brown are maybe not shooting the ball well, they've got a lot of different ways that they can beat you.
So, Bobby, obviously Miami in a little bit of a crisis mode right now, largely because they're without a couple of really important players. One that the Raptor fans know well, and Kyle Lowry, what has he missed? Four straight playoff game series, only played in five of their 13 playoff games. I know he's traveling with the team to Boston. What are you hearing about the prospects of Lowry actually getting back into this series, and how important is it that he do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's listed as questionable, so we'll see going into game three. I thought Kyle on the court in that Philadelphia series, I think hurt Miami towards the back end just because he wasn't full strength, and I think, you know, he was exposed, certainly defensively. I didn't think he had much to give on offense. So I just think it's a matter of kind of where his body is. I know you say, hey, it's Kyle Lowry, and even if he's 60%, it's better than nothing. But I don't believe that because I think if he isn't 85% right, I think he's probably more, you know, more of a detriment to the Heat than a than an advantage, especially how Boston plays. So we'll wait and see. The hard part is that these games are, you know, basically every other night here. And I know he's been out since game five, I want to say, in the Philadelphia series here. But we'll see what his availability is. But I think you're going to need Kyle Lowry to beat this Boston team. I mean, this is a good team. I mean, it's really a lot of different ways that they can beat you, as you saw last night. And they certainly one of the better, probably the best defensive team that's left in the playoffs here.
We're chatting with Bobby Marks of ESPN. On the Western side of things, you've got Dallas trying to respond the way that Boston did in Game 2. What happens in order for that to actually take place? What does Dallas need to adjust? And maybe what has to happen on the Golden State side of things to allow for this series to be tied when it goes back to Dallas?
Well, it's basically going to be feast or famine from three, right? I mean, I think you saw when Dallas is not making threes, it's going to be tough to beat these guys. There's not much of a, really not much of an inside presence here. They basically, you know, roll out, you know, all perimeter guys, and they did not shoot the ball well at all. And Golden State is probably one of the better teams defending three ball here. So I think that's going to be if Dallas is in this and it gets close at the end of the game, it's because they did have the ability to, you know, made a lot of threes. It's a little bit different than Memphis. Memphis, I thought, could beat you when Golden State played them. I thought they get a lot of points in the paint. Dallas is not that, you know, it's not the story for the Mavericks.
So, Bobby, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the way to build NBA teams, and that this year has kind of been the death knell of the so-called super team, with the struggles in Brooklyn, the struggles with the Clippers and the Lakers, and then the success with kind of just good fundamental team basketball in a, you know, in-house built team in Boston, and of course Golden State playing doing very fine for themselves without Kevin Durant. What do you think this season is going to be a bit of a watershed for the way executives around this league see team building?
Well, I think the goal is, the perfect way to build a team is certainly you have that one generational talent, but they don't come along very often. And then, you know, basically to support them with a strong supporting cast. I think the Heat are probably the closest, what, you know, from a super, I guess, a super team that works when you have Adebayo and you've got Jimmy Butler and, you know, Kyle not kind of where he was in Toronto, but like it puts a lot of pressure on your scouting department to go out and find, you know, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, who, you know, who two guys who are basically undrafted players, in your starting lineup, and kind of find those end of the bench guys here. So I think there is a lot of ways. I think the easy way is, yeah, let's just get three, you know, all NBA type guys and we'll just figure it out the rest. And as you saw with Brooklyn, he saw with the Lakers, when one of those players gets hurt or if that player doesn't fit and you're relying on a bunch of, you know, older veterans, you're going to be in a lot of trouble here. So, I think teams will always still have an eye. Hey, if you can give me Kevin Durant, you know, or Kyrie Irving or one of these other players, yeah, I think teams will always want to do it, but those are extremely hard to do. And as you saw this year, it always doesn't work.
With Bobby Marks, and yeah, I mean, in terms of where the sport is going, obviously the Raptors are in a situation here where they lack, you know, a top 10 game-breaking superstar. Now, they are hoping that Scottie Barnes continues to grow into that. And we had Jamal McGlure on the last hour. Jamal was talking about internally the plan is for Scottie to keep growing his game to the point where next year he can play and defend all five positions. And we are seeing that in the modern NBA. But is Scottie Barnes, you know, pushing, is there potential for him to push the envelope even more? And what Masai's trying to build here with guys like Siakam, who can do that at times, OG Anunoby, who can do that at times. Could you picture a lineup that Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster are trying to build up here that will have, you know, three, four, five guys on the roster that can play almost any position and play maybe at a plus level?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw a sample of that this year, basically, except for Fred. You've got, you know, guys who are 6'7", 6'8", or above. Positionless basketball, go without a center here. And I think, you know, how Toronto played, I mean, that's probably a little bit of a blueprint. I mean, you started to see that in Dallas, as far as how they played against Phoenix and Utah with, you know, basically, you know, 6'8" guys. And I think with Scotty, you know, I'm out here in Chicago for the combine, like, Scottie Barnes could be a generational talent. I'm not ready to say he could be Luka Doncic, you know, certainly different style here, but I think he can be that franchise player that you can build around. And as long as you have the right pieces around him, you can be good for a long time.
So, Bobby, you're out there at the combine looking at the draft prospects. The Raptors have a first-round pick, albeit the 30th overall pick in this draft. What kind of depth is in this draft? And I know there always are gems. What are the odds of the Raptors hitting on one in this particular round?
I think it goes 40 deep. And I think there is a big, wide gap when you probably get outside the top 10. I mean, I think from that 11 to 40 range, it's basically what do you like, right? You're almost going to go probably by need by then. Not a great guard as a draft as far as depth point guard-wise, but the draft has proven, especially if you have an early second-round pick, that you can find players. I mean, you look at, you know, Herb Jones in New Orleans last year, I think went 35, and he might be named one of the all-defensive teams this year. And Gary Trent in Portland was a second-round. Jalen Brunson, who you guys are watching here. So you can find a player early in the second round where the Raptors are that, you know, can help, you know, your bench out at a really low cost.
Well, that's got to be the plan. You keep adding to the program here. We'll see where it goes. Enjoy the combine, Bobby. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs as well. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. That's a good sign, 40 deep. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's a disparity between who would be at the top of that draft and what you're finding once you get into the 30 range, give or take.
Yeah, but they're 33rd. I had 30. It's 33rd they got. So
yeah, they've
it's
got
not a first round pick. It's an early second round pick. But yeah, hey, that's good. That's good news. I mean, hey, you missed on Malachi Flynn, but maybe you get this one right.
Yeah, the Malachi Flynn story this year, like, this is the thing about the Vegas, you know, rookie showcase and all. Like, it just gets blown so out of proportion.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, everything he heard during the summer was, man, they like where his game's at, that he looked good in Vegas, and then it just never got there. And by the end of the, like, he was doing some spot duty against Philly, and it was an absolute disaster.
Terrible.
Like, they had to get him out of the game Like, it was check in for 2 minutes, jack up a couple of bricks, missed defensive assignment, see you later. Like, we can't even
no
play
confidence,
you.
Nothing. Just,
no, it's too bad because, like, with Fred's injury and the lack of depth at that position, like, there was a real opportunity for Malachi Flynn to insert some sort of dominance on that backup role.
Should have been.
It just didn't happen. And Delano Banton, I think, like, that's a project still. Banton's a project. Like, they were giving him some run early in the year. I'm not sure what to expect out of him, you know, moving forward, but he's a guy that fits the mold of someone with length, you know, someone who's got athleticism, someone that can improve defensively and improve a shot, and he's a guy that might be in the fold in the future.
Just has to learn to play basketball, right? That's the thing about Scotty Barnes that's so intriguing. He's got all the length and all the physical tools you could ask for, and he's got, like, incredible basketball IQ.
Basketball IQ.
Delano Banton, you know, all the length and physical tools. The basketball IQ's got to come, and who knows if it's going to come in time.
It's a second-round flyer, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you get in the majority of the time in the second round is you're taking projects, and Malachi Flynn was a late first-round pick. Buddy, 4 years in college, you know, that's another thing. Sometimes you realize maybe there's a reason the guy was 4 years in college.
Yeah.
You know, but, the Raptors are going to have that pick. The Pistons pick, I guess it was, in the beginning of the second round or up, you know, towards the top of the second round, and they'll be seeking out talent like they always do. I mean, that's
– wow. They need guys. Like, you can't miss on these late picks. Like, you got to find guys that can at least be serviceable rotation players, right?
Yes.
Because with the way they built this program, you know, they don't have a ton of assets to trade right now. So, you know, I'm not sure how else you get better as the Raptors right now. You're going to have your mid-level exception guys and all these – you can have your bid players, but you got to continue to grow – the internal crop, and when you miss on a Flynn, you hit on a Barnes. You gotta be hitting more than you miss, or it's just not gonna work out.
Yep, no, that's the truth.